الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في شأن حبيبه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, it is only the fazal, karam and ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that together with blessing us with the greatest wealth and the greatest asset of iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the best of guides, the most perfect of role models, and the most beautiful way of life to adopt and to follow, and that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, it is this way of life which is the only way of life that will bring to us success in this dunya, in our qabrs, and in our akhir. And the beauty and the nature of this way of life is such that any person coming from any background, whatever color, creed, nationality, whichever city, whichever town, whichever village, whichever area of this dunya he is in, at any point and at any moment of his life, he will be able to relate to the Mubarak Sunnah and the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Ustad, Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mulana Harun Abbas Umar rahmatullah alayhi, he would very often mention that it is so easy for a person to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ultimate goal. For a person to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the main maqsad of a person. One is, a person is a lover. And what a lover won't do for his beloved. So a lover on one side, and your beloved on the other side. They are two totally different concepts. The love that a parent has for his child or her child, it is something that person won't be able to describe. It is not something that a person can write. The love that a parent has for their child, something that is unimaginable. And to what lengths a parent will go just to see that his child is happy and comfortable. Especially if the child is an obedient child, then without him even asking for anything, the parent will go out of his way to do for his children. My child likes a certain thing, or this is what he hinted, or he said he wants, he was interested in a certain thing, I'll get it for him. The love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for his makhluk and his bandas are much, much more multiplied than the love that any parent could ever have for any of their children. When a person will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't do for that person. And a person is obedient, he follows, he is trying to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. So this is the ultimate goal, to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to say, we will become the king and queen without crowns. In our dunya and in our akhirat. So our Hazrat Mawlana Harun Sahib rahmatullah, he would always mention, and simple words Mawlana would use, he would say, it is so easy to become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all you have to do is just follow the sunnah. Such simple words, so statements, or something that we grew up learning, or we would hear in so many different bayans, different lectures, but the simple words Mawlana would use, and it was only because of his ikhlas, his sincerity, the way of life that he led, the pabandi and the punctuality upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we would go and visit him also, especially when he was in Spingo Beach before he moved to Overport, what a simple way of life everyone wants to do for him. He could have had the best of the best, but he was king without the crown. Simple furniture, simple curtains, simple everything, simple in his house. And because of his simplicity, that sincerity, that life he chose, his word would have a permeating and a penetrating effect on the heart. He would often mention that if you want to become the beloved, it's so simple. All you have to do is just follow Sunnah. Why? Because this is that way of life that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will follow this way of life, automatically will become the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way of walking, that way of talking, that way of eating, that way of speaking, that way of dressing up, having that hairstyle in that manner, socializing and mixing how we treat others in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it. That personality, that character, those guidelines given to us when it comes to business or when it comes to any other field, whichever field is concerned, that way of life, that ta'aleem, that teaching, this is the most beloved way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is it so beloved? Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that, every aspect of that way of life? Why is it? For what reason? What is the reason that I must do it like this and I mustn't do it like that? What's the big deal if I do it in this manner? My respected elders and brothers, many a times we try to apply our logic, but our logic will fail. Our logic, our understanding is flawed. But the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never ever be flawed. Today, what remarks and what comments we pass, that is, Maulvis, they only know how to speak about beard and trousers above the ankles of the sunnah, miswak. People are dying in Gaza. The ummah is going for genocide and the different crises that the ummah is facing. My respected elders and brothers, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it as so great, the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has applied so much of emphasis on these so-called little things that we talk about, that we apply, we trivialize the sunnah. One thing, such emphasis. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam refused to even look at a person that removed his belt. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't even look with a glance of mercy. In other words, He won't shower His mercy upon the person who will wear his pants below his ankles. Are these small things? Are these insignificant things? On a day when every single thing will count for a person, like a drowning person is trying to clutch on straws, on the day of Qiyamah, everything that will be in our face, everything that we can, or everything that can contribute to our success, we will be clutching onto it. And on that day, to be deprived of the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that not a great thing? Today, unfortunately, such remarks, such statements are being passed against the sunnah. Today, together with, apart from just abandoning and leaving out the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we have gone to the step of trivializing and disregarding the Mubarak sunnah of Nabi salatu wasalam. How many times the person will mention that, I don't know what to do, my father is insisting I move my beard because he's making me look untidy. That student that is studying deen, he or she, some maybe they are studying a little bit ilm, or maybe they attended some program, they learned something, maybe from the Taaleem program or wherever, and now they don't want to attend certain function or that certain gathering, that family get together. Why? Because it's a mixed function. Or because of some haram that is taking place. We will find it is the own parents also that, as we would say, are on the case. What this person is going to say, what this uncle is going to say, the auntie is going to say that you are impolite, you are rude, you are not considered, you have no consideration. How many times doesn't it happen when a person has to actually walk out of a gathering because of the haram that is taking place? And that becomes the breaking point of the relationship between that person and the host. And now the entire family is talking that this person is like this, he has no respect, he is so rude, he has no consideration for our feelings. We have no consideration for the feeling of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have respect for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we want everyone to respect us by following the way of life of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By aping and imitating those that are trying to drag the Mubarak name of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam through the gutters. And we want everyone else to respect us. The golden words of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu on the occasion of the conquest of Aqsa, where he had mentioned, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us izzat, has given us dignity. Allah has given us honor and glory by fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter he mentions, فَمَّهْمَا تَتْلُبُ الْعِزَّةِ غَيْرِهِ. If we happen to seek this so-called izzat, this respect, this dignity, this little bit fake honor in any other way of life. We want to dress like that people, like that certain person. We want to have our hairstyle like that. We want to imitate that certain person in our nikahs, our functions, our animas, our occasions. We want to imitate a certain nation who themselves, they are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Umar radiallahu anhu mentions, yudhillukumullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces us. And what is not happening to the ummah across the world today? When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, at one stage, when they were just walking over armies, and they were just conquering land after land after land, and they entered into the lands of Sham. At that time, Sham, Syria, it wasn't known like how it is known today, the Syrian regime. Rather, it was the greater Syria and all the other lands around it. Many, many other countries were included under Sham. And it was governed and ruled by a person that was known as Flavius Heraclius. Famously known as Heraclius. You have to read up about this person. What a mighty ruler he was. What mighty armies he had at his disposal. The powerful weapons that he had. It is mentioned that he was the greatest emperor, the greatest of rulers to rule over Sham. He never lost a battle. Whenever he went out into war, he always came back victorious. In his time, under his rule, the land of Sham had expanded far, far and wide. But when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum entered into his land, then every army that he is sending against them, every one of them are coming back defeated, humiliated, and disgraced. So once more, when the army had come back disgraced and humiliated, then he gathers them in his court. And he asks them that these people that you are fighting, are they human beings or are they a different creation altogether? So they mentioned, no, these people, the Arabs, they are definitely human beings. Are they greater in number or are you people greater in number? No, we far outnumbered them. Much, much greater than them. Then why is it that every time you are coming back defeated, humiliated, it is a disgrace for the throne, it is the disgrace for my crown, for me, disgrace to the people, to what we have at our disposal? Why is it that you can bring victory? None of them could answer. There was one person right at the back, one old general, he stands up and he mentions that there is one reason. And he outlines in six statements or six sentences, he outlines the way of life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they lead their lives, how they spend their night crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they spend their day, how they associate with one another, their character, their personality, how they would give up their own rights or their own necessity for the luxury and comfort of the next person. In other words, in a nutshell, he explained to them the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ta'aleem and the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, that these people are paband and punctual on this certain way of life. Heraclius, when he hears this, he mentions to the crowd that this person is speaking the truth. It is because of this way of life that today, wherever they are being, they are moving under the divine assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are moving with the divine help and the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah tariqa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to historians and researchers, over the decades and over the centuries also, they mention that there are only three individuals in the annals of history. Throughout time, throughout history, there are only three individuals that considered unmatched, undefeated, and unrivaled. They never lost a battle, they never lost a war. One was Alexander III, he was known as Alexander the Great. He was a Greek king and he had ruled over the Macedonian Empire. He existed about 360 BC and at one stage he had even claimed Ilahiyat, he had even claimed to be God. So he was one that never ever lost a battle. Number two was Genghis Khan. Or some people pronounce it as Genghis Khan. He was the ruler over the Mongolian Empire. There are reports that in 1187, he had led an army against the army of his brother, where he was very, very severely defeated. And 10 years later, he had regained power and he came and defeated his brother. But he is also put down as undefeated and unrivaled. Number 3 was the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. When he came to the first two, they won every battle in the dunya. They never lost a war, they never lost a battle. But the main battle of life, they had lost it, the battle against shaitan. They had passed away without iman. And furthermore, when he came to those two, they were rulers over mighty, mighty empires. They had the best of, the most mightiest of armies, the best of weapons at their disposal. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was known as a one-man army. He led from the front, not from the back, sending the army first. Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that when Khalid radiallahu anhu used to go into battle, it was something, as we would say, a spectacle to watch. They mentioned that he would go into the thickest part of the enemy, where the enemy were at the thick part. He would make himself go all the way through, right in the center. And they mentioned that when we would look at him, the only thing we would see was the flash of the glint of his sword, and bodies would fall all over, all on Khalid radiallahu anhu. Up till this day, Muslim and non-Muslim researchers, historians, are mind-boggled what used to take place in the mind and the brain of Khalid radiallahu anhu when he was on the battlefield. Western historians and researchers, those who have delved into this matter of war and battles, etc., they mention that from all these three unchallenged, unrivaled individuals, Khalid radiallahu anhu was the greatest of them all, making him the greatest military leader ever to set foot on the face of this earth. According to Western historians, according to them, the greatest military leader to ever set foot on the face of this earth was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. In the battle of Muta, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were facing such odds, 3,000 against 200,000. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had appointed Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu as the commanding officer, the general in that war, in that battle. And he mentioned that when he is slain, if anything happens to him, then Ja'far bin Abu Talib radiallahu anhu will take the position. And when if anything has to happen to him, then Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu will take that position. On the battlefield of Muta, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu is carrying that flag. The most important position in an army is the general, the flag bearer. Because as long as that flag is up, there is some motivation in the army. There is some enthusiasm. They have something, some courage to push forward. So naturally, it becomes the riskiest of all positions. The enemy surround him. They come, a whole group of them surround him. They strike him to the ground. As the Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu takes up the position, his hand is cut off, right hand, and then his left hand, he tries to uphold it with his bosom, his chest, he is struck to the ground. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu takes up that position. The enemy again, they surround him, they strike him to the ground. This entire scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that Allah ta'ala had opened the entire scene of Muta, what was happening on the battlefield, to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina Munawwara. Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had given us the news that Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu has become martyred, it was something that was so devastating to the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He became so sad, he became so grieved, that he actually sat down on the mimbar, he couldn't stand. Zayd radiallahu anhu was like his own son. He loved him like a son. He was known as the adopted son of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When Ja'far radiallahu anhu was slain, and thereafter Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu was slain, and they mentioned that as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us this news, he is just getting sadder and more grieved, until when the last one of them, the last commanding officer, Abdullah bin Rawaha, was slain, then his head was in his hand, that now what is going to happen to my Sahaba radiallahu anhu on the battlefield? And then all of a sudden they say that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked up, a huge smile on his face, and he mentions to us that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unleashed his sword on the enemies, and now we will find victory. Hazrat Zayd bin Al-Qamar radiallahu anhu on the battlefield, he comes across the flag and he picks it up. He was not in a position, he was not a person to step into that position of a commanding officer. He looks around and there is much, much confusion amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. All the leaders, all the generals are down. What must we do? Must we push forward? Must we retreat? Must we surrender? in the distance, in the near distance, he sees Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu. So he dashes up with that flag and he places it in the hand of Khalid radiallahu anhu. This was at the time when the Romans and the enemy had almost formed a full circle around Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Khalid radiallahu anhu was only 6 weeks a Muslim. So naturally he hesitated in taking up that position. Where now am I going to go and command the early Muslims, the early Sahaba radiallahu anhum? I'm only a new Muslim. But with the insistence of a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were around, he takes up that position. And in one glance, one sweeping glance from one side of the battlefield to the other side, how long can it take a person to look from one side to another? A few moments, a few seconds. At a time when they are completely or almost completely encircled by the enemy. In those few moments, a few seconds, that Khalid radiallahu anhu already planned his strategy. He regrouped the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He made them into three different groups. He chose which Sahabi must go into which group and he sent them off in three different directions. And like that, they had defeated what was remaining of the Sahaba, the 3,000. They had defeated an army of 200,000. And Sahaba and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu brought them back safely to Medina Munawwara. It was on this occasion when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions Khalid, Saifullah. That Khalid, you are the unsheathed sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was when he was given that title. He crossed the superpowers of his time. He brought Rome to its knees. He brought Persia to its knees. He conquered Iraq, he conquered Iran, he conquered Armenia, he conquered Jordan, he conquered Palestine. He conquered parts of Africa, parts of Egypt. Whichever land Khalid radiallahu anhu stepped foot on, he emerged as a victor and a conqueror of that land. And yet, in the battle of Yarmouk, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were facing odds, were 40,000 against 400,000. 40,000 against 400,000. And there was one person in the Muslim army, whether he was a Tabi, whether he was a new Muslim. He had uttered the statement that today what is going to happen to us? Look at the mighty armies that they have. Look at the weapon that they have. Look at the numbers that they have. And Khalid radiallahu anhu, he was the general, he was in charge. And he overhears the statement, he dashes up and he catches up to that person, that soldier. And he mentions to him that our victory, our success on this battlefield doesn't lie in our numbers, it does not lie in our know-how, in our knowledge as far as warfare is concerned. It lies only in one thing, and that is following the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a statement that is coming from the greatest military leader ever to set foot on the face of this earth, according to Western historians. That if you want success on the battlefield, or for that matter, any other field, or any other way of life, any other moment of your life, our success and our victory lies only in one thing, and that is fulfilling the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because this is that way of life that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you follow this, then you become the beloveds of Allah, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't do for his beloved. This was a statement that Khalid radiallahu anhu was a person that was known for his knowledge of warfare long before he had accepted Islam. From the time he was a young boy, when the hadith describes him, they mention, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned that he was not very tall. In stature, he was a bit short, slightly stout. But any person even double his size, he would put them down. His knowledge as far as warfare is concerned was mind-boggling. No one up till now understands what used to go on in the brain of Khalid radiallahu anhu when he was on the battlefield. And yet, what he says, he mentions that our victory and our success lies only in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayhi, he used to teach Bukhari Sharif in Medina Munawwara. And he had once given this incident where a person had come to Medina Sharif and he had tasted the sour milk of Medina Sharif, the sour milk that was being sold in the bazaars, and he had tasted it, he had spat it out, and he passed the comment that our sour milk back in my village or back at home is better than the sour milk of Medina Sharif. That night, in a dream, he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him that if your sour milk in your village is better than the sour milk of Medina Munawwara, then go back to your village and don't ever come back to Medina Sharif. So naturally, when he wakes up, he is very perplexed, he is very worried. He asked a few ulama that were there at the moment, at that time, that this is a dream I saw, and this is taking place, this is the dream I saw, now what should I do? So they tell him, go to Uhud, go to the qabr and the grave of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, sit there and cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes to Uhud, he makes a dua, and he cries and he makes sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking mafi, asking forgiveness. And in that dua, he happens to fall off into a slumber. And while his eyes closed, he sees Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, and Hamza radiallahu anhu mentions to him, that for the sake of your iman, go away from Medina Sharif and don't come back. My respected elders and brothers, he spoke about the sour milk of Medina Sharif. And what remarks and comments we speak about the Sunnah of Rasulullah. What is the condition of our iman when we speak about that alim who is standing up for haq? When he is speaking out Sunnah, he is cautioning us, he is warning us against those that are pulling us to end Sunnah, to the enemies of Islam, to the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what remarks, what comments we sometimes pass? What is the condition of our iman? My time is up. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant us the reality of this treasure that we have. What Allah ta'ala has given us, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us with, that is the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala make us proper ummatis and grant us the tawfiq and the ability of fulfilling many, many sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.